better never rests. Beauty colors in the sky. What a thrilling
time to be alive. It's Sunday night. That means it's time for the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Roos. He's Rusty Mansell. We represent Dogs HQ, so they tell us. I don't know. From time to time, I guess, Rusty. Look, a lot to get to tonight, man. Big weekend for Georgia. They come off of a disappointing loss, bounce back in what I thought was pretty convincing fashion against Auburn. We'll definitely get to that. Plenty of talk on that. Big weekend in terms of recruiting as well. Really huge. The returns sounding very positive early on for the Bulldogs. And then we'll look a little bit ahead to Mississippi State. We won't get too crazy in it. But first off, Rusty, let's just dive in, man. Georgia, Auburn, Georgia 31, Auburn 13. Get it off the rip. What stood out to you? I know you've had a chance to go back and see this one again.
I did. I watched the first half. I haven't had a chance to go back and watch the second half. And I think it's, you know, really one of those things where you miss a few plays here and there, miss a tackle here and there, convert a long third down 1 point early in the game. Defense played pretty good. Offense missed a few things. Offense had a good opening drive there. It's just I haven't played a complete game yet, but I can assure you after spending the last about 18 hours on our Tennessee on 3 ball quest and on our Bama online, Florida State websites, I think everybody on all three of those would definitely trade a 18-point conference win at home for Georgia. Man, I'm still in shock, man, how crazy of a day it actually was on Saturday. One of the wildest things you've ever seen. I think there's a lot, Jay, we could get in an hour of kind of future of college football and a little bit more parity and those types of things. And it's just crazy how this thing is going to unfold. And you really, truly have to survive week to week, Jake. And you gotta wire yourself, man, as a college football fan to get to the playoffs, just whatever, somehow, some way, fight tooth, scratch, nail, 9-3, 10-2, 15, 12-0, whatever it takes. You got to get in that final 12, man. And after yesterday, my goodness, I don't know how the heck they're going to determine all this stuff. It's just crazy.
Roe and I discussed the idea of parity on our radio show earlier today. And yeah. I said, I don't know that we're closer probably than we've ever been. Right. I mean, it's
oh, no, no doubt
we're moving. But I said, to me, this doesn't necessarily say that full parity is on the way. What this does say to me, though, what we saw this weekend is that you can probably expect a lot more of this exact kind of weekend moving forward. I mean,
especially in the SEC, because everybody has good players. Everybody has good players. You might not have the depth of, say, Georgia and Alabama and Texas. Doesn't mean you can't get beat. I mean, and you look at – I've said this a million times in different interviews. What I call a talent equalizer. And you look at that quarterback for Vanderbilt and what he did to keep them in that game yesterday. He didn't turn the ball over. He gave Alabama fits with play action and being able to – you know, this is a kid that lost to Georgia State. They lost to Georgia State like 3 weeks ago. But, you know, I think a talent equalizer, somebody like that, and you throw some good players in around it, anything can happen on any given, you know, Saturday, especially – in the SEC conference. I think you're right on there. I think you could see some teams lose. You hope Georgia's not one of them, but I think you see some of these teams lose to some teams they're not accustomed to losing to. One stat I'll say this, when I went back in yesterday, and Roos, we're older than we got a little bit of age on us. I'm definitely older than you. Georgia is 17-3 in their last 20 against Auburn. That's mind-boggling to me. Like, that is absolutely
impossible.
It doesn't seem possible. The way this series – growing up in the 80s and the 90s and these games, like if you went 5-5 against Auburn in 10 years, you pretty much thought, okay, we held our own. That's what you get. Georgia is 17. And by the way, they're 17-3. And one of those plays was a fluke play basically at Auburn, the Nick Marshall tip pass. So we're talking 18-2, which is insane, but wow, just crazy. Georgia is 17-3 in the last 20 games against Auburn. That's unheard of to me.
I'm curious, Rusty, in watching that game yesterday, going back and watching it a little bit too, I said, in my opinion, watching that, Auburn Auburn is not as bad as 2-4 would imply.
No question, in my opinion.
I think they've got some real players over there, man. They're going to be able to compete with almost anybody. Yep. Georgia, I felt like from the jump, controlled this game, didn't play a full game still. I mean, you were missing at various intervals. It didn't feel like it was still all clicking.
Yeah,
but I do think that this is a good win. I think that, like I said, despite that record and what that people might take away from that, Auburn was not a pushover team, man.
Listen, I told Jake the other day, I said, man, if Auburn don't turn this thing over, Jake, this could be real interesting. This could be real interesting. And I put this on the Dogs HQ message board yesterday. Man, I don't want to – it's not right to say his name, but I had a former player. This guy played in the NFL. This guy played at Georgia way back. He texted me yesterday morning. We were talking about something else, and he goes, Rusty, do you bet? I said, not much at all, very little, maybe once a year, something stupid. He goes, I'm telling you right now, Auburn and Vanderbilt are both going to cover today. He goes, we're beat to hell. Like, Georgia's beat to hell. Alabama's, you know, they've been riding this emotional high all week. He goes, you watch and see. And I'd be dang. I didn't even reply to him. I'm sorry if you're watching this. I didn't even reply to you. I'm thinking, dude, what are you talking about? Like, Vanderbilt? I mean, Auburn might cover, but Vandy? And they won. And then Vandy and Auburn covered. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. But I thought that was funny yesterday. And, again, I apologize for not even responding to you. I wasn't blowing you off. But I thought, man, this dude's lost his mind. And I'd be dang if he wasn't right. And you take those wins and get on. But I think Auburn definitely is a team. Here's what Hugh Freeze has been good at. When he's had a guy that can run his offense, he's been pretty damn good. And that's just being straight. And right now, I don't think Peyton Thorne is kind of what they want. I don't think he played too awful bad yesterday. I think he hurt you with his legs a couple of times. He's kind of just a guy. You know what I mean? I don't really know. He's got a good arm at times. Sometimes he's got head scratchers. Hugh threw him under the bus on that fourth down. I mean, he was like, that ain't what we called. So I don't know about that. But, you know, it, for Hugh Freeze, you know, to be successful, I still think they're going to go into portal this year, and we'll see what Auburn can get. But Their defense, those two ends they got, those two guys are a handful to deal with, man. And they look like Auburn. You know what I mean? When you got that white on, Auburn's always looked good in pads. And they've always had dudes that look good in pads. And yesterday they look good. And Georgia, I'm sure Kirby Smart told those guys all week. You could tell talking press conference. Kirby's team knew that they were going to play. I heard Carson Beck say after the game, you know, we knew we will expect this was going to be a real physical football game, and it wound up being that way.
Well, you bring up Carson Beck, man. What a day for him. Really fantastic showing. Coming off of, like we said, we can call it what it was. It was a super shaky game against Alabama. But you come out, and this one, guy comes out. I had the stat pull up, 23 of 29, 240, two touchdowns, almost 80% on the completion, man. I mean, and I'll tell you this, Rusty, in watching that, I don't know that it felt like that. I don't know that it felt like 80%. It wasn't, it didn't seem that automatic, but it clearly was. I mean, he was doing it what he wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I think he very intentionally will check the ball down. And coaches love that. Listen, I know fans don't. And sometimes, you know, you want to see him press the ball down the field a little bit, but he will check it down underneath and he will live for another play. And you know, I think Auburn fans wish their quarterback would check it down a little more. They had 11 turnovers in those first four games. So, with that, I think Roe hit it right on the head last night. He said, Rusty, that kind of to me was like a Jake Fromm stat line type performance. And that's really what it was. Not saying that's a terrible thing. That's just what it was. It was a very efficient, very kind of clean night. You know, you don't want to turn the ball over, you know, and give people short yard situations, that type of thing. So a couple of balls, you know, the deep ball accuracy, I think, is where, you know, I think Carson Beck would even admit he wants to work a little bit more on some of the back shoulder throws, some of those things, throwing it inside versus throwing it outside, leverage, those types of things. Because when you get real picky, Roos, those plays in the NFL on Sundays, that's where those balls are. And I'm not going to talk about the Falcons. If you look at that touchdown Kirk Cousins threw the other night in the game, he threw that the only place that needed to be and the only place his receiver could catch it. In tight coverage, away from the corner. He got it. Kid turned around, goes up the field, walk-off for the Falcons. So little things like that matter. But, you know, I think Carson Beck, for whatever reason, is taking a little bit more heat than he probably should. And I think that Carson Beck right now is starting to put together some things that you want to see as a stretch drive goes.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, look, you go in and you consider part of this too, right? I mean, Arian Smith, one reception yesterday, that was on four targets. Not great for him. You switch a couple of those up, man, you're talking about 25 of 29. I mean, you're inching toward that Grayson Lambert mark almost from a few years back.
Wow. So,
you're getting in that area, an SEC record holder in Grayson Lambert there.
But how about that? Stand up Wayne County, baby.
That's right. Absolutely, man. But, you know, like I said, it didn't feel like that, Rusty. And it didn't feel to me that Georgia just flat out dominated Auburn. I never got that sense. The scores that they felt like they controlled the game throughout it, but it didn't feel like they were just steamrolling over those guys. So, again, I come away with this one and still more work to do. This is still not a team that you've seen hit on all cylinders at the same time for four quarters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you look at Georgia, they still haven't played a complete game on both sides of the ball, Roos, and that's what you – Georgia fans want that. I think we all want that, but it's going to have to be at the right time. You know what I mean? You want to peak a little bit later, not saying that you don't want Georgia to come out and just absolutely smoke Auburn, because you do. You want to see that. But it's hard to do that every week. And I think what people have a hard time believing is you can't get better, and you can get a lot better. And Jake, what is Georgia now? Are they 4-1? Is that right?
4-1.
Are
they? Yep.
Roos, they're 4-1. It's October the 6th. And Georgia, not saying long shot now, not saying this is a far-fetched thing. Georgia could have 10. They could have 11, and one crazy scenario, they could have 12 games left. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, sure. I mean,
full season.
We could have a full season left. Understand, if you're playing in January, you're into game 15 regardless, or you're in game 16, or you're in game 17. There's some scenarios out there. I mean, if you sit here and think we're on October 6th and go, Roos, we got 12 more game days, brother. Whew, I don't know if Roe could handle it, you know, but you know, Georgia very much, I would say the odds are that Georgia has at least 9 or 10 left in them, which is crazy to think about that and how much more opportunity there is for Georgia. But I know there's some people watching right now are head scratching going, what in the heck are you talking about, man? And realizing, oh, my God, there could be 12 more games. Which, you love college football, but in particular with Georgia, you know, there could be 10, there could be 12 more games, and we're sitting here on October the 6th.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's unbelievable. I mean, that we could even be discussing that. I do think, look, this is a team that – think that that's advantageous for. I think that that's a good thing for Georgia.
It
reminds you a little bit, you know, I'm not saying it's a spot on comparison. It reminds you a little bit this season of those Mark Richt teams, man, that they weren't catching their stride for a little bit. It took some time to warm up.
07.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. You know, what happens when Jordan Hall comes back? Mikel Williams played sparing snaps compared to what he did against Alabama. He tried to give it a full go against Alabama, was clearly a lot more limited this week. Warren Brinson took a step back in terms of his availability as well. They were clearly throwing their guns at Alabama and then pulled back just slightly, I think, this week as well. You know, Rusty, moving into this next week, right? You know, obviously Mississippi State coming to town, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. Ooh, got a little police action outside.
Sunday now on a mountain, baby.
Hey, brother, people get a little squirrely at the end.
Sunday
of
now on a mountain, baby.
They're not ready to go back to work just yet.
That's right.
but no, I'm curious. You know, where do you see what's the biggest need for improvement now, coming off of this game, having a chance to see them operate against a team like Auburn, coming off of the Alabama game, the changes you knew you had to make? What's Georgia got to focus on this week moving into that Mississippi State game?
You know, offensively, just more rhythm. I think just getting in a rhythm. You know, I think they're still searching for – I think the most positive thing about the Auburn game was the run game. I think Trevor Etienne, I think you look at Nate Frazier's in there, and you're starting to get him in. And I said this yesterday on Dogs HQ. You know, you're not going to play if you're not ready for Kirby Smart. I don't care what you're ranked. I don't care who you are. If you don't do it in practice, they're not going to put you in the game. Now, obviously, we've heard he has some struggles, some ball security, things like that. He struggled with some pass pro, which is very typical of young running backs. But, you know, there comes a point where you got to find it. You got to make this thing work with Nate Frazier. He's going to have to hold up his end. And as a coaching staff, you're going to have to hold up your end and say, we're going to put you in here. We need some plays out of it because we're better with you in the game. I think he gave some juice yesterday. I think Etienne, they're getting a flow with him. I love him in the pass game. I love Lawson Lucky right now, that deep over route they threw to him earlier in the game yesterday. I think they got to get some more shots to him. So Kobe Young got more touches yesterday. So I think offensively you want to see how you get into the rhythm of the passing game now that you've got some running game. Defensively, you want to tackle better. And this will be a week where they're going to get tested because this is going to be very similar to almost to this Tennessee offense they're going to see next month, where it's going to be super fast paced. They're going to be on the line. They're going to throw this thing. Jeff Lebby's done that for a while. That's what he's going to do. Extremely try to get as many snaps as he can, try to wear you out defensively. So you have to tackle. You have to stay on the field longer. Guys on the defensive line are going to have to, you know, you're going to get stuck on the field because of the substitution stuff. If you do not stop them and they can move the chains, they will get right up on there. So I want to see how Georgia kind of handles that. They should be a clear-cut favorite in this game versus Mississippi State, even though they hung around with Texas for a half before Texas put them away. So we'll see this weekend, but I think this weekend is more about Georgia creating more explosive plays, trying to find those guys going into that Texas game in 2 weeks, going into that to where – who's going to be there and who's going to be healthy? Who can go this week and who needs a week off before they go to Austin?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of this weekend, speaking of Austin, you need tickets for all of those, man. Mm-hmm. You need to get over there. Now, look, that atmosphere in Tuscaloosa, incredible. You know, yep. They said Kirby Smart called the people out this past weekend and said they could have a little bit more juice.
He did. So,
look, if you want to get down there this weekend, provide a little bit more juice for these guys. It's a great opportunity to do it. You can do it with our friends at GameTime.co. And those guys over there do such a fantastic job, man. It's such a cool experience, such a cool way to go look for your tickets and see what's going on out there. You know, just the opportunity to shop around and see all the available options that you got out there. Get in the door price. I think $88 was the cheapest that I saw for this weekend. $100 here, you can get up in those 600 sections, but there's some good tickets down here in the lower bowl for $100. So make sure you get in there, give it a look.
Sun will be going down in the fourth quarter, so you'll get to light it up, you know, the second.
Yeah, that absolutely. Part. I didn't
get to light it up for the, absolutely. You get to light it up for the first. Hey, I'm looking at the weather app, so GameTime.co here tells you. That sun's going to set around 7:25. You're going to get a chance to do that, you know, in Athens on a Saturday night. So those ticket prices right there, that's they're going to come down some this week too, I would imagine.
And it's looking like it's going to be great weather, man. It's looking like it's going to be true football weather, man. I'm excited for that.
There's not a hoodie in America that's available, safe from a girl this week, because the low – on Friday morning, it's 44 degrees. It's going to be hoodie season in the state of Georgia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can go over, like I said, choose any of these seats here. What the cool thing about GameTime.co is it gives you the opportunity to see where you're sitting first. So you
love
can
that.
See right there.
Love
it. It gives you the view straight from where you might be sitting in the stadium. I love that. I've used it myself. Mm. It's super accurate. It does a great job. And that's such a cool feature. That they do over there. So go check them out, GameTime.co. I love that opportunity. They got the lowest price guarantee. They'll credit you 110% of the difference if you go out and find a cheaper ticket. So you got that on your side as well. Look, take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code ON3 for $20 off your first purchase. Now, terms apply, but again, create an account, redeem code ON3, that's ON3, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Enjoy it. Have fun. It's going to be fun, right, man. It's going to be a good weekend, I think.
Take you some Bulldog snack cookies.
Bulldog snacks.
I've got one bag of cookies left. I swear to God, these things.
I bet you do. I bet that's a commodity in the Mansell household.
I had to hide those things, man. I got a 9-year-old running around here, and she could care less if that's the last snack or not. So it's fall break. That bag of cookies is sweating right there from Bulldog snacks.
Rusty, you talked a little bit about some of the things that, you know, the improvements that they can make going into this week. But I mean, I'm curious, coming off of that Alabama week, there was all this dismay, all this, you know, where does Georgia go from here? I'm just curious, man, and I got it in the banner right there below you. What encouraged you coming off of this win for Georgia? Because personally, I thought some things started to take a turn. The guy who jumped off the board to me when I did the snap count today, Raylan Wilson. Yep. Led the inside linebacker room. I'm wondering if that won't be something we will be seeing a little bit more with Smile Munden out for indefinite, I don't know, you know, week to week, I'm sure Kirby would say. Raylan Wilson against Peyton Thorne, an especially effective weapon because he's got such speed. But, you know, I'm curious, what encouraged you about what you saw and what Georgia can take from this week and move forward on?
I'll give you one big picture piece, and then I'll back you up on a small one. I actually had somebody text me last night, so I went back and did it. I literally typed this thing into a spreadsheet this morning. Georgia is 43-1 at home since 2017. The only loss they've had was to South Carolina in that 2019 game where they played pretty bad. And I will tell you this, that's the greatest run in the history of Georgia football. And when that ends, you're never going to see that again. Just the way college football is, you know, I don't know how it happens or whatever, but 43-1 at home for Georgia and the SEC is the greatest run in 132-year history of Georgia football. And I say that to tell you, this team just knows, they just know how to win games. You know what I mean? Like, I never kind of felt like they were going to lose that game. They got tight a little bit. They just know how to win games, especially at home, finish off opponents, that type of thing. So you look at the bigger picture, I think people kind of take things for granted a little bit. And listen, Kirby, right or wrong, whatever, Kirby calling people out yesterday, he has a right to do that. But I'll also say for Kirby Smart, it was hot as you know what. I had a buddy text me, said they had somebody fall. This was pregame. I had a buddy text me, said, hey, we had somebody fall out our tailgate next to us from heat exhaustion. And the person was sober. So I knew it was hot there yesterday. Listen, those players were hot. They were working their, you know, what's off. It was crazy. And, you know, listen, it's 17-3 in the last 20 games. That Auburn atmosphere, it is what it is right now. You get past that game. And Kirby has the right to say what he wants. I can give you the fans' perspective. It was hot as you know what, I would imagine, and those types of things. So there's two sides of that. Now, them just knowing how to win, I'll say this, though. I don't know what it was in the stat sheet, and I don't know how he graded out. Roosh, but I'm telling you right now, Damon Wilson is getting more and more and more snaps. And the position he plays at Georgia, like he was so much better in the perimeter run game by setting the edge and helping guys behind him. They need Damon Wilson. They need Damon Wilson to come on, man.
We've heard a little bit about the setting the edge this year, haven't we?
Well, after the Alabama, you know what I mean? Like you think Auburn didn't try to go at Georgia yesterday on the perimeter? You know what I mean? And Georgia handled that better yesterday. And that's one of those things you really have to kind of know what the exact scheme is and look and be able to watch the All-22 tape and that stuff. But watching Damon Wilson, I think that's a guy that should encourage you, even though, you know, you don't look on there and go, dude had 5 sacks or 3 pressures, all that. He played pretty damn good yesterday, and that's what you need out of Damon Wilson, what you need out of that position. Because, Jake, when Damon Wilson is doing what he's supposed to do at times, especially in a run game, you got Raylan Wilson, you got Jonel Aguero, you got all those guys behind him that's able to run free and just use that speed to stretch it out, sideline to sideline instead of somebody getting north-south on you like Alabama did in a hurry early in that game last weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. You mentioned the grading out. I believe Damon Wilson, top-rated pass rush grade in the PFF grades.
I'm telling you. So, I didn't even know that, but I'm telling you. He flashed a couple times, and this is a kid. It was a monster recruit between Georgia and Ohio State. Ohio State, he was their number one target that position. Georgia wins that one 2 years ago. It's time to go, and this is the time and experience, I think, for Damon Wilson to take that step forward for Georgia.
Yeah, and that's what's exciting to me is you see a guy like that, the light's starting to come on. Raylan Wilson starting to suddenly get a bunch more snaps under his under his belt. Hey, maybe you got yourself a second center here in Drew Bobo, who gets his first career start, gets out there and does a fine job as well. I mean, this is the time of year where those guys start breaking through that wall and coming into their own. And, you know, I mean, at this point, KJ Bolden's a veteran. I mean, he's played enough snaps. Yeah. He's got enough snaps under his belt that he is a veteran. You know, then you've got some crafty stalwarts back there, too. Dan Jackson, a guy who played very well.
I mean, that dude, Dirty Dan, baby.
People will talk about Stetson Bennett, and rightfully so. Dan Jackson is his own walk-on story, and it should be told for a long, long time. That guy is playing meaningful snaps over some guys who are very highly recruited players, and he's doing it at a really high clip, Rusty. The top-rated tackler in the game yesterday per PFF.
I mean, I'm on listening to the broadcast on TV, and they're like, we don't know what he's going to do, you know, after his 6 years up. Well, I know what he's going to do. He's going to the NFL. I mean, Dan Jackson can go. This dude's a 4-4. He's a 2-year starter at Georgia. He's going to the NFL.
At worst case, right? I mean, let's just special say the guy, teams, he is going to be a special teams monster. Yes, that guy 100%. Knows how to do it. He knows how to hustle after it. He
blocked a kick yesterday.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, what more do you want? Dan Jackson, we'll sing his praises here every chance we get.
Dude, we're going to be sitting here next year this time, and our message board, people are like, damn, I wish we had Dan Jackson. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, the dude can freaking play football. Is he the most athletic dude to ever play at Georgia? He's not, but he's definitely like this dude's a 2-year starter at Georgia. I don't care if he was a walk on. Who cares?
Yeah,
the dude can freaking play, man.
He knows what he's doing, man. I mean, he really does. He's playing over talented guys, and that says it all to me. I love the Dan Jackson story.
Dirty Dan, baby.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to get into some recruiting. I definitely want to hop into that, but we got one more shout out we got to do, and that's for our friend Andy Ludeke and MyPerfectFranchise.net. Are you a displaced corporate executive or wanting to put your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? Well, Andy Ludeke and MyPerfectFranchise.net can help. Andy's a huge college sports fan and a franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. Using his expertise, he helps others find their American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. So call Andy, put your life and your career in your own hands. Best of all, his services, 100% free to you. What do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at MyPerfectFranchise.net. That's MyPerfectFranchise.net. Shout out to Andy and the boys, man. And really appreciate them guys doing what they do. Rusty, a star-studded affair in Athens, and it took a big turn. This list grew and grew, and even on Saturday, it blew up, man. I mean, it was wild how many guys they got in the stadium for this one. They made the most of their return home. There's no question about that. It had been a full month since Georgia had an opportunity to recruit in Sanford Stadium, and they made the most of it in a big way.
Sneaky, man. We're sitting here, getting ready for game time, and I'm starting to get texts like, hey, such and such, you know, I think I just saw such and such show up. And we kind of felt like C.J. Wiley, the four-star Florida State wide receiver commit, was going to show up. But I wasn't touching that until I confirmed he was in Athens. I mean, we were not even remotely going to hint at that. It's such a trigger one with that wide receiver. Everybody wants this young man from Milton High School. And when we confirmed he was in town, we were able to break that. Jeremy Johnson got the picture of him at the stadium and had some news today on him on Dogs HQ on the message board. You can go check that out as well. And we'll have more on Monday morning, certainly. But Laganza Hayward, this is a kid from Toombs County High School.
That was the one that really kind of set my antennas up, Rusty. Because
I was like, wait a minute.
Everybody knows Wiley, right? Everybody wants C.J. Wiley. It surprised everybody when C.J. Wiley committed. Laganza Hayward is one of those that has felt almost like Usmani Chroma to me, where it's been, there was a lot of up and down and up and down, and it was hot with Georgia for a minute, then it got cold, and now he's checking out South Carolina, and that's his favorite school he's ever been to, and Tennessee's showing me the love, and I got to stay home at Georgia. It was a nutso recruitment, and he commits to Tennessee, but I wondered throughout if they would somehow link back up, because there did seem to be some clear early affection from Hayward toward Georgia, and yeah, I think he was waiting on that to kind of be reciprocal. That name really surprised me when it popped up as one coming into the stadium, because I think that is going to make for one to follow maybe moving forward for that reason.
Just out of kind of recent success and the connections between – look at Kirby Smart, who's a Bainbridge person. You look at Mike Bobo from Thomasville. You look at the amount of South Georgia connections the staff has. You start talking about Toombs County and South Georgia. You start talking about a South Georgia kid. And I'll say this too, even Matt Ray, our good buddy at BallQuest, our Tennessee site, I was checking him out this morning. He made a post, said, listen, you know, we did confirm, or, you know, we confirmed, and Dogs HQ confirmed Laganza Hayward was on campus in Athens. And you always have to take Georgia serious with an in-state kid, especially a South Georgia kid. Georgia's done really well in South Georgia over the years. And you know, that's one they want now. I'm telling you, he's a 6'1", 200-pound safety, you know, and got some stuff on that on Monday, kind of what I'm hearing on that. I will say this, you know, and talking about South Georgia, I'm actually wearing my only Augusta shirt that I've got, and that's kind of, you know, thinking about those people in Augusta, Georgia, and what they're going through. And still, I saw Aquinas High School make a post tonight, first time they've been back with their team. They fed their team tonight, so you know, week without seeing their kids and all that kind of stuff. So kind of prayers with those guys. And thinking about Toombs County, you know, they don't have power. So I heard they're going all online right now, through some apps, trying to take some classes. A lot of kids still without power there. So, you know, you look at Toombs County and those guys, but in prayers for all of South Georgia, you know, still dealing with hurricane issues and trying to recover there. But this is a kid that Georgia wants, man. There's no question about it. He's a safety, and they're not giving up early. And then we did. I'll say this on here, because we posted on the board a couple times. Georgia snuck in and watched him work out a couple weeks ago, and we did confirm that this week. So I knew right then. Been some communication and been some guys on him. T. Rob is involved as well, and he's a great recruiter in his first year at the University of Georgia. So that's one definitely that you kind of like, okay, Georgia's in play here. Doesn't mean they're going to flip him, but when you get a committed elsewhere prospect on campus and he knows the eyes are to be on that, and he still wants to come check out Georgia, you know that there's some kind of meat on that bone.
Absolutely. No question about it. Another big visit out there, and you can go check out the update Jeremy Johnson had with Jackson Cantwell, a guy who, look, just – you said headed for number one, I believe.
He could be number one overall.
I think he's got a great shot at it, man. Yep. I mean, just everything you're looking for in the offensive tackle position. Some really glowing things he continues to say about the Bulldogs, Rusty. Now, I know a lot of people are skeptical because he's a Missouri kid and the opportunities that provides and what that means and how aggressive they've been with their NIL strategy. Nebraska's another one that he's considering as well. I think he's taking some time to see Oregon. Alabama's getting looks. Georgia, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, has hosted him about as much as anybody. The Cantwells continue to return to Athens, and that is something that, look, recruiting is, tell people all the time, it's a lot like poker, man. You need a chip and a chair. You just got to hang in there, man. You just stick around.
That's true.
Stick around long enough, and you see what happens.
Hang in the game, man.
Yeah, and I mean, they're clearly very well in that one. Justice Terry back on campus as well.
I got a really good note on him tomorrow.
Yeah. All right.
I got a really good note on him tomorrow. Dogs HQ subscribers.
I was teasing that one for you.
I got a note. Yeah, I figured we would have
something on Justice Terry tomorrow. He was in the building. A load of 26 guys, man. I caught up with several of them today myself. Yep. You know, just a plethora of recruits in there. And the returns are favorable, man. People get caught up, and I said this in a couple of our shows last week, people get caught up in this idea that, you know, a loss will kind of change a guy's mind. Most of these guys, almost all of them, in fact, have experienced a loss at some point in their career. They can contextualize what a loss is. A loss is not a teammate. But you come back, you're able to be a part of that atmosphere. You're able to see Georgia. The number one thing I keep hearing from these guys, Rusty, is the attention to detail and the execution. They say that's what separates Georgia from other teams. They know me. I come in. They have it down to a T with my family. They bring me out there. I watch them get on the field. The guys execute the way that they're supposed to execute. That's what is catching the eye of these guys. And, you know, we've heard a lot about the standard. People have talked a lot about the standards not being met. I think in the eyes of recruits, the standard is still pretty clear when it comes to Georgia, especially compared to other programs.
Logistically, and our good friend Matt Godwin, who we've had on several times on all of our podcasts and all of our shows, he was in charge of that for like 3 years under Kirby Smart. And now you got guys like Will Myers, who's over that. You got guys like James Ellis, some of the younger guys in the recruiting department. Logistics on a game day of a big game has a lot to do with it. You don't want CJ Wiley and his parents sitting somewhere for 2 hours trying to get into the stadium. You know what I mean? Like, that recruiting lounge, that was the first thing Kirby got. I mean, that 1 year after that, Kirby had that thing changed immediately. I had a new locker room and a recruiting lounge where those players didn't have to walk up. I mean, I cannot believe that that really was going on at Georgia. All those years, Jake, we covered it.
Oh, yeah.
Those players would have to walk the stadium steps of Sanford Stadium at halftime to get a drink and get a snack. Like, that Kirby Smart put the brakes on that in a second, in a millisecond. Now they walk about five steps and they go into the air condition, and there's a recruiting lounge right in behind them, own private recruiting lounge. And that thing got changed real quick. So little things like that logistically make that's just as important as a win and loss, dude. It's that you have you don't leave there with a bad taste in your mouth. Like, what the heck is going on, man? They're not organized there. What's going on? So little things like that. They got a lot of, you know, the ladies that are involved with that help day to days with parents and everything else that are huge in this thing. So I could go on and on about naming names and people in that recruiting department that make Georgia, I think, maybe the best, if not one of the best, certainly in the country. And don't think for once that those game day, how those flow is not important.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, and it spills over, right? I mean, it's the expectation in every single area under Kirby Smart. And that's, like I said, that's what guys notice. It's my family's taken care of. I'm taken care of. The game's taken care of. The execution of the left guard is taken care of. I mean, it's all happening in front of me. It's all natural. It all flows. And it's a testament to who they are and the way that they recruited. And
you know, Georgia, you I don't know if you know, I won't say the kid's name because it's not fair, but probably 2013, 2014, Georgia won a huge game at home. And this is not on Mark Richt, because there's just different numbers of people in there. But after the game, there was a celebration in that little bitty locker room.
Oh, God.
And they were trying to get the right recruits. Only a few recruits got to get into the locker room with them post-game to celebrate. And one of the top players in America, one of the top players in the country, had the door shut in his face, and he got locked out. And he didn't get a chance to be in there with the team, and Georgia didn't get that guy. So don't think for one minute that game day stuff doesn't make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rusty, parting thoughts. Georgia gearing up for, look, we can call it what it is. I think the spread's 34 on this game, man.
Wow.
Against Mississippi State. It's 30 plus. Not a big expectation. Had a chance to talk to our guy Robbie Falk over at Maroon and White earlier today. You know, he said I think they can sneak in an SEC win this season, but he said it's
a lot of rebuild.
Yeah, it's a huge rebuild over there.
Yeah.
The expectation, he said, the way for Mississippi State to attack Georgia is the same way it attacked Texas, which is play ball control. Just try to keep it out of their hands. Try to sit on it as long as you can. I'm just curious, does Georgia – I have a hard time believing Georgia gets caught looking ahead of this because
no.
With Kentucky, I feel like they thought that that happened a little bit, and you see how that almost turned out.
After Vanderbilt and Arkansas wins last night,
sure,
you can bet Kirby Smart is there. I mean, that was the ammo to him. Like, he is like going to tell you, and he's going to tell the press how tough the SEC is. But he damn sure going to tell his team. Y'all see what happens to – don't worry about that. This is SEC. This is every single week. They're going to watch that first half of that Texas game where that thing was close. And I think the atmosphere next week, you know, these – you start understanding the season's kind of going by and you only get so many home games. You're going to get a 4:15 start. It's going to be a great weather day. You're going to be – it's not going to be blistering hot. It's going to be a great day to tailgate. You're going to get to see the stadium get lit up in the fourth quarter. It's going to be, you know, the lights are going to be on. Everything is kind of in George's favor to have a great game day atmosphere next weekend. Don't forget now, next weekend, it's already been known, this is Elijah Griffin, the number one defensive lineman in the country. That will be his OV next weekend, his official visit. And so that's going to be a big one.
It's his birthday.
It's his birthday. So, you know. Yeah, it's gonna be a big one, man. It's gonna be a big one next weekend with him. Be all eyes on Elijah Griffin, and we'll have you covered on Dogs HQ.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Guys, stay tuned all week. Go check out gametime.co for your tickets. Go check out My Perfect Franchise with Andy Ludicky and the boys. Get you some Bulldog snacks this week, man. Get those ready.
Don't get my cookies. Don't get my cookies. I got one pack left.
Finger on his butterfinger, man.
My cookies. Dead man walking, man.
We will have you covered on all things Georgia, Mississippi State. We got tons of stuff still coming from Georgia Auburn as well. Get over to Dogs HQ, man. Check us out. Come have some fun with us. We'll be back with a couple episodes of the Georgia Show. We're going to work in I can't remember what our podcast, the Bark After Dark. It makes sense. I couldn't remember that. We got a few things going on, guys. We're pretty busy. Get over to the site. Check us out. Come hang out with us, man. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll be back with you very soon. Stay tuned.